Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm so glad that you're here as our five-year journey through God's entire Word continues in the Old Testament book of Zechariah. So as you grab your Bible and turn to chapter 3, Greg Harris and I have got an update on how the growth of Islam is impacting our worldwide efforts to take the whole Word to the whole world.
Well, and Steve, we always like to coordinate what we're talking about with what our team is praying about. The World Prayer Team is traveling through the Middle East this week. We're in Yemen, Azerbaijan, Bahrain, Palestinian territories, and Lebanon. But of course, our outreach goes way beyond that. We're going to talk later about our television ministry in another program this month, but today we want to talk about radio. But there's a stat that you and I often talk about. I think it's really important to share with our listeners.
Yeah, and that's interesting in that, you know, as you talk about the massive growth of Islam throughout the world, more Muslims have turned to follow Jesus in the past 15 years, so the past 15 years since 2005, than the previous 1,400 years of recorded civilization that we've got with Islam. It's an incredible number.
That is a stunning juxtaposition of two numbers, and we're going to share some other numbers just to give people what the secularists are projecting is that Islam is actually going to keep growing, and by 2050, it's going to be very close to the number of Christians. But we don't look at it that way. All we care about is that last stat and God's promise that His word will not return void.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the statisticians are doing is really taking the current growth rate and extrapolating it out, and the one thing that they forget is, but God. And God can move in people's hearts and flatten that curve, just like the COVID virus. He can flatten that curve, and more people can come to Christ.
Absolutely, and we talk so often about the importance of prayer, and so let's talk about why we need you to be on the World Prayer Team if you're not. Steve, how do people join the World Prayer Team?
You go to ttb.org/pray. You sign up today. You get a daily email Monday through Friday, and you can spend just a brief couple of minutes reading the testimony and praying for people all around the world. And you'll be praying for the same region and country of the world that so many others. I think we're at over 10,000 people on our World Prayer Team.
We are.
So you are joining brothers and sisters in Christ. And I mentioned this before. Think of the party we're going to have in glory when we can all get together. The World Prayer Team will be meeting in Suite 5 or Island, whatever, or whatever that looks like in glory. And we can share the stories of the impact and the testimonies from people that have come to Christ in part as a result of our prayers.
And as we pray, we know that Muslims and Muslim families will come to Christ. So let's jump into. We have some great responses. Here's Abed from Yemen. I would like to know more about the Bible. I've been listening to your program for less than a month, and I want to learn more about your book and your religion. Love that. He says, I never knew that Jesus has done all this for me or us. Since I've found your program, something different is growing in me. I want to be a Christian, but I don't know how. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that work.
Yes.
Here's the next one. This is from Nasser from Lebanon, which, as those of you remember in the news, huge, massive explosion. Half the city was blown to bits, and there are people in need looking for answers. We don't know if this letter came in before or after that. Probably before. For many years now, I don't go to sleep before listening to Arabic through the Bible. It's a great nourishment to my soul from the Word of God. I'm sharing with you now, after all these years, that I have known Jesus and become His follower because of your program. Your radio program is blessing many. It helps me talk to people about Jesus and refer them to your program. Thank you for years of blessings. Thank you for years full of wonderful teachings of God's Word and delivering the gospel. I am praying for your ministry.
And Steve, both of these letters tell us that these folks found the gospel. They found saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the radio programs. And I should add, these radio programs are also on a very powerful digital platform or set of platforms. And so there's a lot of great stuff going on in our Arabic ministry.
Absolutely. Greg, why don't you pray for us, especially for the Arab world, as we begin our study in Zechariah?
Father, when we try to reach parts of the world, we know that it's humanly impossible, and we rejoice that what is impossible with man is possible with God. And we commit ourselves in faith that your word will change lives all across this earth and in the Arab-speaking world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
My friends, we're back in the third chapter of Zechariah, and we have here this vision of Joshua the high priest who's standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him, to oppose him. Generally, the defense is there on the right hand the one to support you and help you. But Satan's not there for that purpose. He's there to resist, there to make an accusation. And the Lord was the one that rebuked him. And the reason was, God says, the Lord hath chosen Jerusalem. Now, it's true that Joshua was clothed with dirty clothes, and he needed to be cleaned up, not only on the outside, but probably on the in. But he is representative of the nation, because God makes it clear, who hath chosen Jerusalem, rebuke thee. In other words, God is saying here that the accusation made against Joshua is he's the representative of the nation. Now, you and I have an accuser of the brethren today, because we are told, John writes and says, my little born ones, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And I wish we couldn't, but I do. I don't know about you. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's the one that's standing here. He's the angel of the Lord. The Lord says, the Lord rebuke you. And why? Because this city, as the capital of the nation, is a brand that's been plucked out of the fire. In other words, it looked as if that city could never be rebuilt after the Babylonian captivity, after Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. And for 70 years, it lies in dust and ashes. And then out of that dust and ashes, it's rebuilt again, a brand plucked out of the burning, if you please. It was John Wesley, by the way, who, you will recall, called himself a brand plucked out of the burning. And I'm of the opinion that many of us think of ourselves in that particular connection. I know as I look back, it seems to me like an accident that I got saved. It just didn't seem that it could possibly happen. But it did happen. And I know now it was no accident at all. So that it can be said of most any sinner today, we're a brand plucked out of the fire. Now, will you notice verse 3, it says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. Now, there was one thing that the high priest was to be clothed. He was to be clothed with linen, fine twine, byssus, Egyptian white linen, and his undergarments were of this white linen, and over it were the garments of beauty and glory that were placed. Now, I take it here that he's there just as a priest, but a high priest representing the nation. But his garments that should have been clean, they are very much unclean. And it says that he's clothed with filthy garments. Now, very frankly, friends, it's worse than filthy. It actually means that there was excrement on them. There was the awful excrement of human beings on him. He not only was dirty looking, but he smelled bad. You couldn't be any worse than this man was. And actually, here he is with this excrement on the garments, and he's dirty, he's filthy, he smells bad. And that's the way the sins of this nation look to God. How in the world can this be remedied, by the way? How is this man, or this nation, or how is it possible for you and me to stand before Almighty God? Now, will you notice what he says here? And he answered and spoke unto those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Now, here is without doubt one of the most beautiful pictures that we have in the Old Testament. And this man, he just couldn't stand before God, a righteous, holy God, with these dirty garments on. And it also revealed his weakness. You see that when he's dirty and filthy as he was, it gave Satan a hold on him. It gave him an advantage because as the adversary, he could point his finger. And my friend today, my feeling is that it's not the sin of the lost world that is before God that is as terrible as the sin of believers. The devil doesn't even mention the sins of the world, but he sure will be after you, my friend, if you as God's child drop into sin. And that's the reason it's so tragic when a child of God drops into sin. It causes the world to become skeptical and cynical. You can't blame them. And it gives the devil an advantage over the cause of Christ. And it means also that God can't accept you, friends. You see, if you're a child of God and get into sin, you've lost your fellowship. Now, you didn't lose your salvation, but you sure lost your fellowship, and there can be no joy or blessing in your life. Now, what is going to happen here? Well, this is the thing that's going to happen, and I'd like to change this just a little here. And I want to read verse 4 now in a little different translation. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments from off him. And unto him he said, behold, I've caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with rich apparel. Now, as I said, here is without doubt one of the most interesting pictures that you have in the Word of God. Here is actually the sin of a believer. This man is a priest before God. God appointed priests. Every believer today is a priest before God. But some of us are standing before God in dirty garments. Yes, but somebody says, I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Yes, you are, if you have been saved. And that's exactly the picture that's given to us here. You see, the dirty garments must be removed from him, and then there must be put on him the clean garments. And these clean garments that are put on him represent the righteousness of Christ. Now, this is the picture of your salvation and mine today, and that's one of the things that makes this such a precious passage of Scripture. By the way, let me turn to the third chapter of Romans. Having set before mankind in the first three chapters that man is a sinner before God. We all stand dirty before him. And our righteousness today is filthy rags. We stand like Joshua did. Yes, man is a sinner. Man's clothed with filthy garments. What are we going to do? Well, here is what Paul says in Romans 3:21. But now, God has done something. Will you listen? A righteousness from God apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, and it's like a garment. It's by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified without a cause by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Why? Because he died, shed his blood, that it might be possible for you to come in our filthy rags to him. Our righteousness is that, even the best of us. And he takes that off. He'll not accept it. And he clothes us with the righteousness of Christ, that you and I might stand before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when we stand like that, my friend, nobody, no created thing can bring any charge against God's elect. Listen to Paul in the 8th of Romans, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Yes, and what can you say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely that is, without a cause, give us all things. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We have a Savior today. And when we trust him as our Savior, he not only takes from us our sins, removes the dirty garment, but he puts on us the robe of his righteousness, and no one can bring any charge against God's elect. But wait a minute, can God's child get into sin? Yes. Then what is the child of God to do? Well, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That means you don't go back into the mud. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you and I are out of fellowship with God, we've lost a great deal. We've lost all joy in our life. We've lost all power in our life. We have also lost, I think, our assurance. I'm of the opinion that there's many a person today lacks the assurance because of sin in their lives. And certainly, we're not serviceable to him anymore. He's not using us. You see, Joshua, if he's to stand before God as God's high priest, he must have unclean garments. And God provided those. How? By mercy. Because, you see, there was a mercy seat there. And that mercy seat, as we're told there in the third chapter of Romans again, that he is the propitiation for our sins. What is propitiation? Mercy seat. He's the mercy seat for our sins. Now, if you have any objection to God choosing the nation Israel, he has. Are they attractive? No. He didn't choose them for that reason. I think probably very unattractive. And you ought to know me, by the way. He certainly didn't choose me. Ruth could ask of Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Well, I could tell her why she did. She's beautiful. She has a wonderful reputation. And all I'd have to tell her, you go home and look in your mirror, sweetheart, and you'll find out why he fell in love with you and why he's extended grace to you. You're lovely. Now, don't tell me to look in the mirror. I've already done it. And what I see, sinner, friends, may I say to you, I need to be clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Now let me move on, because this is a tremendous chapter, and it has the interpretation for the nation Israel. But again, the application for us today is so beautiful. Verse 5, and I said, let them set a clean turban upon his head. So they set a clean turban upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Now, I think this is something that is just a little something that's added that's quite beautiful. Now, the garments of the high priest had included a turban that he was to wear. And on that turban, it was in Hebrew, holiness unto the Lord. And don't you see that this man didn't have a turban? Because he certainly, in those dirty garments, is not holiness unto the Lord. But this is just something added, holiness unto the Lord. The turban is given to him now, and it will have on it holiness unto the Lord. He's going to be used of God now, just as this nation in the future, after the church is removed, will be the witnesses for God, and then in the millennium, they will be the priesthood, the entire nation, a priesthood down here upon this earth, just as the church is a priesthood of believers today. Let me keep reading now. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among those who stand by. Now, I think the interpretation there is quite obvious. He says to Joshua, you're dirty. He says to the nation Israel, you're dirty. Now I have a redemption, and that redemption will enable me to extend my grace and mercy to you, and I'm going to save you. Now, if you want to be used, though, you're going to have to stay clean. You're going to have to walk in my ways. You will have to be obedient unto me. Now, he's not only saying it to Joshua, he's saying it to this nation. He's not only saying it to this nation, but he's saying it to you and me today in the New Testament, is he not? That if ye love me, keep my commandments, he says. If you want to enjoy and rejoice in the love of God, my friend, you're going to have to be obedient to Christ. There's no other way. This idea today that somehow or another I'm saved by grace and I'll do as I please. If you do as you please, you're not saved by grace, because that's too inconsistent. They don't go together. If you've been saved by grace, you'll want to please him, because he said, if you love me, and certainly you're going to love the one who's died to save you. And if you've really accepted him and truly trusting him, you're resting upon him. And if you're resting upon him, my friend, you'll want to walk in his way. You'll want to be obedient unto him. You'll want to do what he wants you to do. Couldn't be any other way. Now, will you notice? Hear now, verse 8 I'm reading. O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows who sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Now, this is a figure and a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a marvelous picture. And I take this as being the sixth vision that's given to him here. Because now this is altogether different. I will bring forth my servant the branch. And it's a familiar figure of Christ. And I'm not going to take the time today to look up the many passages that we could look up. But this is a picture of the one who came as the branch. And you will find that Isaiah spoke of the one who is the branch. You will remember that there would be a root out of the stem of Jesse. And that is the branch. And he is to be the king. He is to be the ruler. The branch sets him forth as the Savior. It sets him forth as the one who protects and keeps his own. And the branch represents him as the coming king to this earth. Now, he says, for behold, the stone that I've laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the engraving of it, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. What we have here is the picture of Joshua, the high priest, and Satan before him. And the fact that the one who's coming is the branch. He is the Savior of the world. But not only that, the branch here is the stone that Daniel talked about, cut out without hands, and it has eyes in it, we're told, seven eyes. Seven is not the number of perfection, but the number of completeness. He has complete knowledge, and eyes speak of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord Jesus Christ has been made unto us wisdom, because he is all wisdom, if you please. We have here, for behold, the stone that I've laid before Joshua. Now we're speaking of the second coming of Christ. The branch here and the stone represent the second coming of Christ to the earth. For he saith the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Has that happened today? No, it certainly has not happened in our day. It is yet to happen. When the Lord Jesus comes, it'll be removed in one day. And in that day, now that day is the day of the Lord, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree. In other words, they'll be dwelling in peace and enjoyment in that day. But that day has not yet come for them. What a picture that we have here, and what a vision this man had. Now, next time, we're going to see the golden lampstand and the two olive trees. There's going to be plenty of oil, because there's no middleman, no filling station you have to go to. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Wow. You know, I love the connections that Dr. McGee is making between the Old Testament and the New Testament, don't you? Well, all of these messages in Zechariah and all of our studies in our five-year journey are available to listen to again for free, of course, at ttb.org or on many outlets where you get your podcasts. If you need help selecting a resource that'll deepen your study of the Bible, why don't you call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, tomorrow, Dr. McGee continues our study of Zechariah's amazing visions. I'm Steve Schwetz, and as always, I'll be here saving your seat on the Bible bus.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?